On the October 16th edition of Debrane's Best Seat in the House, Jed and Joey had a discussion about whether Virginia fans should be optimistic or pessimistic following a 28-26 loss to Maryland. To answer this question, Jed took listener calls.
Sports talk in Charlottesville will never be the same.
If you haven't torn up the contract, take it, shred it, reinvent it, and do what it takes. The bigger question that I think is on Virginia fans' minds, on community residents' minds, is did the university handle this the right way?
Live, local, dynamic.
I think it definitely was a send a message sort of thing. I think it's a part of trying to get this program back under control a little bit.
I have no problem with paying people what they deserve, but when we're going to win something, football, basketball, baseball.
This is the Best Seat in the House on News Radio 1070 WINA. To be part of the action, call 977-1070 or 1-800-688-9462. Now, Chad Williams.
What do they teach you to talk like this?
And Phillips to hold. Snap back, ball down. The kick is up. Line drive, got it to go. Woo. And that's the end of the first half. That's the way it ends. 20-0, Virginia.
The world outside looks so unkind.
He has kicked a beauty. And Byer is going over to make the catch. He has muffed it, but he... Oh, Maryland might have gotten it at the 2-yard line. Byers, I think, giving Maryland the ball. He went to grab it. He muffed the punt, and Maryland comes out of there with it.
Drift away.
Going to hand it to Lattimore going the other way. He broke it. Look out. 40, 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown. Lattimore at the point of attack got the block. 56-yard run by Lattimore. Maryland's got the lead with 9-11 to play.
I mean, Cavalier fans, I know it's painful. I know it's agonizing to revisit those plays from Saturday, but give us some credit. Give us some creative credit. We have fun with those montages. Joey, each week, whether it's Dido or Dobie Gray or whatever. Yeah, it was agonizing. Oh, yeah, it drifted away. 20 points right down the drain. The Cavaliers were up 20-0 almost halfway through the third quarter. And then, in a span of 15 minutes and 43 seconds, not only was the 20-point bulge gone, the lead was completely erased, and Virginia went from up 20-0 on the Maryland Terrapins to down 28-20, and the Cavaliers ultimately fell 28-26. Now, if you were at that game at Scott Stadium, or you watched on ESPN 360 broadband internet thingamajig.
Or the replay on Sunday on Comcast.
Oh, there was a replay. Okay, that's right. Because they
or maybe there
the
wasn't.
Are...
Yeah, no, there was.
You speak so confidently, but you don't know. Or maybe you listen to the game, then you'll know there's a lot of glass half full to take out of this. There's reason for promise, reason for optimism, reason to be enthused if you're a Cavalier fan. There's also reason to be pretty despondent and pretty depressed and, dare I say, I know it's a strong verb, pretty demoralized after a loss like that. That's the biggest Virginia football collapse since the Welsh era, since the sort of grand unveiling of the renovated Scott Stadium in September of 2000 against BYU when the Cavaliers were up 21-0 and frittered that game away, losing in overtime. So 28-26, Virginia is now riding a two-game losing streak, and the Cavaliers' season, which we essentially knew after East Carolina was a wash anyway, is now in terms of wins and losses and ACC finish and bowl prospects, essentially a slam dunk wash now. Now we know they're not going to finish at 500 or above, so we ask some bigger questions. The reaction to the Maryland game, glass half full, glass half empty, all launch into our list in just a second. Let's do some introductions. This is the Best Seat in the House, Monday edition. We take you 6 to 7 o'clock. Glad you're with us on News Radio 1070 WINA. The Jetteroo, Jed Williams, sad after the Virginia game, sad to learn that Adrian Peterson has broken his collarbone, sad to learn that I'm going back to Dallas and Peterson's not playing and the best linebacker's been arrested and Virginia and Oklahoma are not very good. As I wrote to you so pointedly, Joey Mancini, in an email the other day, why must all my football teams suck in the same fall?
Amen, brother. Redskins weren't too much better.
Yeah, should we go there?
Yesterday.
Yeah,
no,
we'll
we're not going to go there.
We'll do that. We'll save that for tomorrow. By the way, we've got a big week ahead. I think we're going to have Eddie George on the program. Mm-hmm. He went to Fork Union Military Academy. Fuma's got a sizable game that's open to the public Friday at 3:30 against Collegiate. So Eddie George, I think, is going to join us later in the week. We are efforting former Cavalier Now Washington Nationals rookie third baseman Ryan Zimmerman. I think we've got a good chance to get him in studio on Wednesday night show, and also Wednesday night in advance of the big duel. I say big duel with North Carolina.
ESPN is kicking themselves for scheduling this game.
They're kicking a producer out the door. Yeah, Virginia and North Carolina Thursday night. Kirk Herbstreit from ESPN should be joining us in the Wednesday 7 o'clock hour. Thanks to Gene Corrigan for making that happen. So, with that being said, phone calls aplenty tonight. Anything and everything Virginia and Maryland revisited at 977-1070, 977-1070, 1-800-688-9462. You can email jed@wina.com, jed@wina.com. Let me throw this out there right off the top. Monday evening quarterback is about being armchair quarterback anyway. This is going to be especially armchair quarterback session. We're going to do it. I don't know that we're necessarily going to criticize all the coaching decisions. We're certainly going to question them intensely. And you can take up any or all of them that you want to. The second half play calling, the fourth and four, some of the missed opportunities in the first half. This is probably going to take armchair quarterback to another level tonight on the best seat in the house. So keep that in mind and phone in if you want to go armchair QB right off the top at 977-1070. Joey, I want to start with a bigger question about the Virginia football fan base right now, because I feel like I think I'd be speaking out of place if I said a majority. A majority says over 50%, which would mean 60 or 75 or 90 or something like that. I don't think it's at that number. But I think a lot of Virginia fans, a growing legion of Cavalier fans, kind of have a split identity. Or they're having an identity crisis about how they feel about this team and this program right now. It's sort of schizophrenia. It's like double personality. Because a big part of them, no matter what, no matter how badly this team is doing, no matter if they collapse against Maryland or not, they're always going to root for the kids. Especially a team like this that's a young team, a growing team, that's shown some progress, that played with guts and heart and intensity and effort the other day. They're going to cheer them on as heartily and readily as ever before. But I feel like there's a growing faction out there, many of whom I just referenced, who cheer for the team, that are not necessarily cheering for the program as a whole or the state of the program because they've turned against the coaching staff. Mm-hmm. I really think there's that duality out there. I think I speak to a lot of you FOPs and P1s. A lot of you in your heart of hearts are struggling right now with how you view yourself as a Virginia fan, and the other day is a great example. Are you glass half full or are you glass half empty coming out of the Maryland game?
Right.
You're not. You're both. If it's possible, you're as confused can be. You're just dazed. You're glass half full and you're glass half empty. You're always, whenever possible, glass half full about the state of the team and the progress of the young players. Sewell is coming along. I like what I'm seeing from this offensive line. The running game is getting it going. That Mike London defense is aggressive. That's one part of you. And then there's the Mr. Hyde to Dr. Jekyll, which says, nope, coaching staff, play calling, Monday evening quarterback, can't stand Groh's personality, he's lost me, I'm polarized by him, I think he's arrogant, he challenged the fans, I can't get over that, and you're split. So what's it going to be? So that's the big question tonight, I think, is do you come out of the Maryland game finding yourself looking at the Maryland game as a glass half full proposition because of the way the Cavaliers played to get up 20 to nothing and some of the progress they showed? Or do you find yourself going glass half empty? Oh, boy, we blew the game. We played not to lose in the second half, and because of that, we lost the game. Or are you a little bit of both? Joey, I think there's a growing legion out there. It's hard to put a number on. Is it 40%? Is it 50%? Is it 75%? I don't know. But there's a growing legion out there that's very split in how it views Virginia football. And I think they view the program and the team in a different context. They like the team and will always cheer for the team, even if they don't necessarily feel the same way about the state of the program because of how they feel about the personality of the coach.
Yeah, no, I know where I stand. You know, I'm pretty glass half full with the way Jameel Sewell played, aside from
and
that pick return for a touchdown. I think everyone should be. I'm pretty glass empty when it comes to losing, in terms of coaching decisions, when you're up 20 to nothing at home and losing 28 to 26 and squandering that lead.
I'm not going to go as far to the extreme as to say the coaches blew the game in the second half.
But you're playing at home.
At the same time, let's put it this way. In the first half, the Virginia football players made a lot of winning plays. And I don't think the Virginia football players played absolutely poorly in the second half. Were the Virginia football players put in the same positions, winning positions, to make winning plays in the second half as they were in the first half. The coach's job is to put them in winning positions. The player's job is to make winning plays.
Right.
The coaches overall in the first half did a much better job of creating winning positions for winning plays.
Right.
I don't think you can say the same thing about the second
half. Outside of the obvious individual mistakes.
Right. The couple of glaring errors, the Byers drop punt, the Sewell interception, the Gold shank punt, things like that. 977-1070, and here go the phone lines. Yeehaw, 977-1070, 1-800-688-9462. A Monday regular on line one. It's Mike with us on the best seat. How are you, Mike?
Good evening, Jed. How are you doing tonight?
Good to talk to you, man. Thanks for calling.
Hey, listen, you have really hit it on the head tonight. I think there's a huge fan base that's just kind of like, love the team, going to support the team. Know the kids gave their all, but everybody's just scratching their head going, where do we go from here? I don't even know if we could put blame anywhere other than the fact that it was just total debacle. A couple questionable calls.
Probably a lot of questionable calls in the second half that we can break down.
I think the big one for me was at the end of the game after the interception, and, you know, we got down there and it was 5.5 minutes to go, I think. We had 3 timeouts left.
Mm-hmm.
We moved the ball down. We're in field goal range. And for some reason or another, we didn't take our 3 points and say, all right, D, hold them again. We'll get the ball back. And then this time we'll drive down and we'll win the game.
Now, Mike, you're speaking Joey Mancini's language here because Joey is in the field goal camp. He wanted the field goal there. I like the decision to go for it there, but, Mike, I had a bigger problem. It wasn't the decision to go for it. It was, to me, if you're going to go for it and go for broke and make the statement with 5 minutes and 15 seconds left that, you know what, we don't think there are any guarantees we're going to get down here to the 15-yard line again. We've got to go for it all here. Every chip to the middle of the table. We're playing to win right here. Then you've got to call a better play than a low-percentage sideline fade against a blitz. Yeah, you got a one-on-one with Deion Williams, but the sideline is your enemy. You're working on Maryland's best defensive back, Josh Wilson. The throw had to be perfect in that situation, and you're talking about a redshirt freshman quarterback. To me, if all your chips, Mike, come down to a 4th-and-4 play, and you're not sure what to do, then call a timeout and find a way to devise the highest percentage play that gives you the best chance to be successful. And I'm not sure they did that there.
I agree. And one other thing I wanted to touch on, you know, and I think a lot of fans kind of felt this Saturday at the game. I think a lot of fans felt like, you know, the coaching staff, you know, Coach Groh, he made his comments and the fans, you know, did whatever. But I think there was a lot of people at the game Saturday that wanted to show, hey, we are here. We are going to support you. But, you know, in the same token, don't be so, I don't know, defensive, I guess, when you get some criticism.
Yeah.
Now, you get a little criticism. You're the head coach. The buck stops with you. You know, you're getting paid a very nice salary, and you're putting out mediocre numbers here tonight and this year. So I think you got some room for criticism.
Yeah,
I think
that was our point last week was, for that money and that job, you know what comes with the territory. It's not about the edification of proving that you know more about football than the fans. It's about going out and getting results for the fans and respect the fans' ability to be fans. That's what they are. Bottom line, that should never change.
Right. And I think I hope this was expressed Saturday with the fan support that any turmoil that's there now is between the coaching staff and the fans, not the team, because the team, they deserve everybody's support. I mean, I was there when they walked in. I clapped them. I yelled at them when they walked through the gate. And I was one of very few that did that. And I can tell you, it was a very thin crowd when they did the Cavalier walk.
Yeah.
It was a very thin crowd.
I saw it from across the street, yeah.
I was there screaming. And I want, you know, if anybody on the team's listening, I'm behind you 110%. I'll be there Thursday night, and I'll be screaming again. I just, you know, I think there's a lot of majority of fans are just not sure how they feel towards the coaching staff and the program, like you hit on the beginning of the show.
It's a great phone call, Mike. I think Virginia fans are emotionally confused about how they feel about this program right now.
Got it.
Thank you, buddy. Good phone call. Nice to hear from you. That's Mike on one. Nelson's been holding on line two. Thanks for holding on. How are you, Nelson?
I'm doing fine. One thing I wanted to talk about was the defensive lineman, Jeffrey Fitzgerald.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, I think I noticed that in total tackles in the ACC, he was third, and he just had a great season, I think. And I think if our football team was doing much better, he would have a chance for being the ACC defensive player of the year.
Probably with those numbers. Now, again, I think you hit a point right on the head here, and that is with a struggling football team, you're just not going to get individual accolades. And so Jeffrey Fitzgerald, even though we know he's put up great numbers, and even though you can see them in the ACC standings, he's flying beneath the radar screen compared to guys on other teams, on other better teams in the ACC that maybe aren't even playing as well as he is.
Right.
All right, Nelson, yeah. Good to hear from you.
Okay.
But Jeffrey Fitzgerald's a great example of a player that continues mm-hmm. to play well and show promise each and every week, and their victories to be taken out of losses here. I know we're looking for silver linings, but guess what? Al Groh has said, a significant rebuilding project. Maybe we should have believed him more so from the outset, because he was dead on. But we're just stubborn as fans. We hate the term, and especially
it's the sixth
year
here. Yeah,
I know.
It's the sixth year here.
It's not that
and that's
we,
kind of the go back and say, oh, well, he told us so.
No, but here's the thing. We knew he was right, but we didn't want to right. accept that that was happening. And maybe we okay. shouldn't have to yeah. if it's year number six. See what I mean?
Yeah.
Acknowledge he's right, but don't have to accept it. All right, phone calls, 977-1070, 977-1070. Tom, Keith, hold on the line. We're going to both of you guys in the next segment. Quick timeout on the best seat. We'll go right back to your phone calls next as we break down the Maryland collapse, but I really think the glass is half full. We're going to talk about it with Jeff White later in the program as well. A glass half full, a glass half empty, or somewhere in between. We'll discuss with you next.